light the beam, because it's time for Nerdy for 30's Mailbag, a very special time where we talk about emails about nerdy-ish movies for, for about 15 minutes. My name is Kevin Bauer, aka The Critic's Choice, with me as always, my faithful co-host and companion, the people's champ, Tim Keck. Tim.
Companion.
Do you say minion?
Companion.
There we
minion.
Go.
Minion. Is that what the minions sound like?
Or are they all just so. Going,
minion. Minion. I think that's it. I've never seen those minion. Movies.
Same here, dude.
I'm going to wait a few more years until they've done all like 20 in the series. You know, when like Steve Carell finally walks away. And then I'm just going to sit down and watch it for like whatever. The solid week of back-to-back viewing it'll take to get through the Despicable Me's. You know, we're trying to crush a bunch of X-Men movies this year. Maybe at some point we need to crush all of the Despicable Me's.
Absolutely.
Listeners,
not.
Send in an email. Let us know which ones you want to watch.
The mailbag is closed.
Mailbag's wide open.
I've got a minion filter
Minions.
On there.
Minions.
We do have three pieces of mail to get to today, which is the most mail we've ever had. You ready?
Yes. Also, the most eyes on a minion, 3.
It is. I don't think a minion can have 3
is
eyes.
Is that true?
I think that's too many eyes for a minion. I've never seen one with more than 2.
There's one with 1, and then there's some with 2. I assumed there would be someone with a 3rd.
I think that's flat out ridiculous, Tim. Well, I can't believe you didn't suggest it.
Maybe in the next movie they can do it.
I'll never know. This email comes from our pal, Ben Balarookie. Ben writes, damn it, both of y'all. He says, all right, if y'all were doing a bit, great job, because you've got me. Talking about Rebel Moon, you guys tripped over the Magnificent Seven for a half a second. And yeah, it is kind of like that. But you know what Magnificent Seven is like? A Western reshoot of Seven Samurai. All the modern Star Wars and sci-fi properties really leverage Akira Kurosawa, as well as other properties. The Mandalorian and the first season of The Bad Batch are heavily influenced by Lone Wolf and Cub. And then he's got a couple of equivalencies. So if you want to team up, Seven Samurai. If you want a journey against totalitarian empires, that's Hidden Fortress. If you want a grizzled vet with a new charge or kid, that's Lone Wolf and Cub. He also says all the properties are available on Max if you want to watch. They're a bit longer and a lot are in black and white. This is much in the same manner that most modern stories from Hollywood tend to be rooted in Homeric epics like the Odyssey and the Iliad. Stay well. P.S. Watched Animal, it's Hindi, on Netflix. Good gore and action sequences. Really liked the massive minigun. It's set up for a sequel, so maybe keep it in the back pocket until Animal Park sequel is available and do a twofer. Thanks, Ben.
Wow, that's a great advice at the end. I did see Animal, got it in the queue, have not watched yet. I think that's a good one to queue up for the pod. Yeah, great point at that. I mean, it's all reboots, but if it's in black and white, then I'm pretty sure it's public domain, so they can just, you know, you can just use that for whatever you want. You know, I'm writing a book now called Gone with the Wind. And I think it's really going to blow people away. It's a little old fashioned, but I've updated it. Jason Statham's in it.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for AI to be in a place where we can watch your Jason Statham Gone with the Wind.
I also have another movie. It's just the beginning and end of The Wizard of Oz. So
awesome. That'd
be great.
Yeah, dude. I couldn't believe it's public domain already, but some of the flashback sequences in Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready to use those anywhere. Robert Downey Jr. just won an Oscar and you can already do what you want with it.
It's incredible. Do you think all of Zack Snyder's Justice League that he released in black and white, public domain now. It's what it is. Man. You can put Steamboat Willie in there with the Flash.
I'd watch the Steamboat Willie cut for sure. No question. Yeah, I got to say for Ben, incredible. Like, I've never been, Ben's one of my good friends from like, oh my God, way back, like Cub Scout days. He knows me well. So he knows that the best way to get us to watch a movie is to shout out the massive minigun in it, which is kind of a fun contradiction inside of itself.
That's so funny because that's what got me too. It was like lots of gore, massive minigun. I feel like we both just nodded to each other like, yeah, okay. Okay, I'm in. I was on the fence before. Massive minigun. Okay. Can't be bad.
Incredible. Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Ben, thank you for always being the lone wolf to our Cubs.
Yeah. Great.
Next one up.
Great email. Love it. Great point too. I mean, he is 100% right.
He really is.
I'm assuming. I haven't seen any of those movies, but it sounds right.
Sure sounds right to me.
Mm-hmm.
We got another email the day of the Rebel Moon podcast from another old friend of mine. This is Michael Honor. He writes, "Hey, Kevin, love the podcast, but was personally offended by your comment about this movie being George Lucas for anti-vaxxers.
Wow.
First, as an anti-vaxxer, this movie was a C minus at best, not made for me." Incredible. Second, George Lucas made no comments one way or another about whether or not he endorsed the vaccine. And given how all the vaxxers virtue signal about it, we can probably assume that George Lucas is the George Lucas for anti-vaxxers. Third, Zack Snyder is liberal, probably vaxxed. It really feels like he's pandering to the crowd that liked Disney's, all caps, version of Star Wars. Which was also
he was just on Rogan's pod, which is probably why we should have done this mailbag a little bit earlier. Because
Zack Snyder was?
He was like just on Rogan's pod. I don't know what they talked about, probably.
Wow.
Probably Rebel Moon for 3 hours. Did I cut off the end of that? Did I interrupt?
He just said he called the Disney Star Wars mid-tier at best and said, "Hope all is well. Keep up the good work."
Nice.
Yeah. What if Zack Snyder and Joe Rogan did like a watch along for Rebel Moon Part One,
like we did for the end of the Avengers?
Yeah.
Like you can start the Joe Rogan podcast at the beginning of Rebel Moon and like just listen to them as they like do a director's cut of it. Incredible.
Jesus Christ! I can just see those two idiots just vibing out to that movie.
Yeah, I mean, since the two of us are anti-vaxxers, we both loved Rebel Moon.
Sure.
And I can't wait. We're definitely going to do this, the second part, when it comes out on the pod. Genuinely, I was thinking about watching it again. There's something about this movie.
Oh my God, dude, what?
It's like a virus that I can't shake. There's something.
Oh, can you not shake the virus because you didn't get a fucking vaccine?
I'm on ivermectin. I think there's a, yeah, it gets
this
rid
movie
of
is ivermectin.
Isn't it? I love ivermectin talk because it like kills like worms like that are in horses or something like that. Like that's what it does. And so all these people who hang out with horses take it and they're like, huh, I feel better. And it's like, yeah, because you've been inhaling horse shit your entire life. You've got fucking horse worms, dude. <You know? laughs> Like, yeah, man, ivermectin's going to taste pretty good if you got a belly full of worms. So, yeah, I'm on it. And I think, what were we talking about?
Rebel Moon and you thinking about rewatching it.
I'm thinking about rewatching it. It's empty calories. It is like the framework and the visuals and the structure of a very appealing movie, in my opinion. There is nothing below the surface at all, but the structure of it, assembling a team, the outline of a samurai movie or whatever, or Magnificent Seven, it's comforting. It's just, I feel like it's something I can put on in the background and just have and just get a little action in and then move on. You know, like if it was better, this would be in the rotation for me a lot, but I can see this being like a really bad background comfort movie going forward. I'm worried. I mean, you know, it's like the Ryan Gosling thing where like this, it started, you know, maybe as a bit, and now it's becoming who I am. It's like, I think this is, I feel genuinely about this.
Are you telling me you feel seen when you watch Rebel Moon?
I feel seen from a distance.
Sure.
Not close.
Like Maestro, where the camera's 25 feet away from the actors at all times.
Oh, yeah. Another, isn't that movie in black and white?
You think that's public access? Public domain. First half of Maestro.
Yeah. So pretty good. I don't know. We're going to do the second half. We have to, Kevin.
We have to.
It is like one of our most downloaded episodes of the year. People loved it. People love Rebel Moon. The people have spoken, Kevin. They love Rebel Moon. They can't get enough of it.
Oh, good
Rebel
God.
Rebel Moon 2, Two Moons, is going to be even better than the second one.
Rebel Moon 2 is going to be even better than the second one.
Than the first one. I don't know. I'm just so giddy about Rebel Moon that I'm losing track of everything.
Jesus Christ. It's another walking contradiction like Massive Minigun. Wow. And Mike, thank you so much for writing in. Great to hear from you. For anybody listening to the pod that doesn't know us, because this is going to be our first episode that gets slapped with one of those, like, what you should know about vaccines warnings. We are vaccinated. I'm the guy that you read about that got 270 vaccinations. Third piece of mail we have today is from our pal Corey Frame. Corey writes, Disney sucks dicks.
Yes. Great email, Corey. You made a great point.
And somehow they still made what might possibly be the best Star Wars content ever.
Okay.
Do Andor. He addresses you specifically, Tim. Kek, I know you've been burned before. We all have. But what Tony Gilroy and team managed to do with the show is a goddamn miracle. Real dynamic characters operating the gray area of right and wrong. It's so good. I wish I'd watched it sooner. Do Andor. Then he says, okay, goodbye. And also cool Nara Orc. And personal message at the bottom. But the main message is clear to him. We got to do Andor. If we're doing Rebel Moon 2, we got to do Andor.
I also like that we keep reiterating that the only people emailing are close personal friends of yours. It's like, there's no, like, it's none of the fans we've picked up. It's only, sure. It's only people you've like texted and asked to email, which I think is a good thing to establish for a growing.
I have never texted anyone and asked them to email. I have promoted emailing the show at the end of almost every episode, and still we get no emails, but we love them.
Who would email? People are listening, and we love that. That's priority number one. Number two, emails. And then, it's great. I love the mailbag episodes.
Me too, dude. You know, if you're listening right now, don't be intimidated. Just shoot off an email. Whatever you think.
Do it. You can do it on your phone. It's easy. It takes 2 minutes. You get to rant at us. You can insult me. It'll be a great time.
Yeah.
Unlike Andor, I'm sure. I don't think Andor will be a good time. I can't think of the last Star Wars product that was a good time. So already we're in an uphill battle. I've been hurt too many times before. I know he says we all have. I find it hard to believe that Andor is the thing that turns it around for me. I can't believe that Andor is like the one good thing. I also just feel like nobody watched Andor. Am I crazy? Like it didn't get pumped, didn't get super hyped. I don't feel like I'm missing out on it. I mean, he's, you know, asking us to do it. Kevin, how would you advise me going about this? How do I rekindle my passion for Star Wars and get through the first episode of Andor?
I think the biggest threat to you enjoying Andor is the fact that it is closer to a film than a movie. So like it's kind of on the bubble with like the extent to which it fits into us covering things. It's in there because obviously, you know, it's Star Wars. It fits squarely in the nerdy category. But I mean, this is prestige shit. This is great. This is way closer to like The Crown than it is to like Obi-Wan, except there are still awesome suspense and fight sequences and a heist. And I mean, it's so good. I swear to God, Tim, I've watched Andor. We watched it probably about a year ago for the first time. I've probably watched it all the way through 4 times. I'm nowhere near done. It's 12 episodes.
So it's
long.
Your Rebel Moon.
It's don't you even.
Also,
I'm not
just
even
like
dignify that.
The Crown's getting strays as if that heist scene wasn't the best thing I've seen all year.
The Crown. What heist? I don't watch the Crown. Lauren watched The Crown. Is there a heist in The Crown?
Oh, I don't know. You were just like, it's like The Crown, except it has heists. And I was like, I don't know. You haven't seen Diana in the getaway car?
That would rule.
She almost got away with it.
If The Crown made like a fourth season pivot to just not being about historical events anymore.
Diana, we have a mission for you if you choose to accept it.
God damn. Just that's all we want.
Yeah.
Princess Di fanfic. But this one, I mean, this is Andor sick. It's 12 episodes long. It's broken up into basically like 4 miniature 3-episode arcs that comprise a bigger story. I wasn't sucked in at first. The first time I watched Andor, I was really forcing myself through. I probably made it to like episode 7 before I figured out what was going on, just with the way that the show is structured, and then immediately fell in love with it and went all the way back to the beginning to rewatch it again so that I could watch it all the way through. I guess I wasn't prepared for the fact that, like, you get introduced to a lot of characters up top, and I thought that it was being really superfluous with the number of characters in the show because all these people are getting names and speaking lines, and then as soon as Cassian moves forward with the story, they're gone. And it's like, when are we ever going to see these people again? And then throughout the story, you find surprising ways that things end up coming back together and you end up seeing some people again in ways that you wouldn't expect. And it's really, really interesting. It makes you care about the characters a lot. It's so story focused that when you do get moments of action, they're so loaded that it's just a ton of fun to watch. It really is. People keep calling it the Star Wars show for grownups. It really is.
Mm. Okay, here's what I'm thinking. Throwing this out there. What if we did on the pod, we did maybe we like dip our toes in the water with like a rebel, like a Rogue One.
Okay.
You know, we could do a Rogue One on the pod and then just take a little temperature check and just see how, you know, if that's inspired me enough to get into Andor. I just feel like I need to like, is that that's like the best Star Wars thing, right?
It was other than the originals. Andor. Yeah. And then now Andor's the best.
So maybe we'll do that. Ask one of your friends to email us and confirm if we should do do Rogue One or just go right to Andor. I don't know. I could power through it for the pod. We'll do it on the pod. We'll do it on the pod.
Amazing.
We will do it. Yes, I'm committing to that. I appreciate. You know what? I love the fact that people email so much. I genuinely appreciate it that if someone emails begging us to watch a thing, I feel like I have to.
Dude, do you want minions? Because this is how you get minions.
Minions? Yeah, I want the three-eyed ones.
Minions, bud. All right, anything else you want to cover
minions
in this one?
No, I guess that's it. It's pretty pretty good. Oh, I do want to say, I think we're going to be doing an Oscar pod soon. Oppenheimer won. So we'll be rehashing that, which we all know and love. We did a Barbenheimer episode that was the biggest blunder we've ever made in the history of this podcast. We're going to make a solo Oppenheimer pod. I can't wait for it. I do want to shout out another movie that we didn't do for the podcast, but it won an Oscar, Blue Heron, The Boy and the Heron, or whatever it's called. A thrilling adventure that I had no interest in, but a good friend begged us to go so we could be cultured and then fell asleep in it three times. So I just want to shout out The Boy and the Heron. It happened. And congrats on your win. I guess the Oscars are, you know, fine.
Yeah, I started yawning as soon as you brought up The Boy and the Heron. That movie knocked my ass out. I was well rested. I got 8 hours that night. I was caffeinated. We'd eaten, but I wasn't stuffed. And the theater was cold. That's important. Warm theater can put anybody to sleep. Cold theater is a lot harder.
I will say, to invite people to go see a movie with you that you fall asleep during is a power move, Kevin. That is just dick on the table. Like, guys, you got to see this thing. And I struggled through it. I mean, it's if you're into Miyazaki. That kind of... Miyazaki, if you're into that, that's great. And I love it. And that's your thing. It's not necessarily up my alley. And I can't believe I forced myself to stay awake just so we could talk about it afterwards. The only thing you saw was the inside of your eyelids in that theater.
Dude, I was also not the only person to sleep. The other guy in our row that was sleeping was snoring.
Oh, my God. I thought it was part of a movie at first. I was like, who is sawing logs in this animated thing? Yeah, it was crazy. Just loud snoring. So, yeah, just wanted to acknowledge them. Shout out. We're doing Andor. This is going to be great, Kevin. Anything you want to add?
No, that's it. Thanks so much for writing in, everybody. And we will see you later this week. I think the episode that's coming out is the action draft, right?
Yep, I think we're doing the action draft. It's going to be great.
All right. See you there.
See ya. Bye. Bye.